Records. I'm Dr. Ann West, and my guest today is David Fabricius, the author of The Daily Seven, The Secret to Living a Life of Balanced Excellence. Seven daily practices to help you achieve all you ever wanted without losing everything you have. Hi, David. How are you?
Hello to you, Dr. West. I am well, thank you. How about you?
Absolutely great. And here on the beautiful island of Kauai, and I don't think it can get much better than that.
Fantastic.
So, David, I've read your book, and I really enjoy it, and I think you've got a tremendous contribution here to humanity, and I know that you've been traveling worldwide working with excellent, beautiful people that have been really making amazing strides in their lives quite a while now. Maybe you could give us a little bit of your background and tell us what brought you to write this dynamic book.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your words. Dr. West, for the last 14 or so years, I've been traveling the globe, and I was very privileged and fortunate to work with people from 135 nations. And wherever I go, and especially when I work with people in the top end of the market, I would say the top 10, top 3% in any economy, I always see the same problem. People are asking me, and they say, David, how can I create more balance in my life? I'm very successful in my business, but how can I be as successful at home? And I was one of those people who really, really struggled with the very same question. I enjoyed tremendous career success. As I just said, traveled the world at the height of that. I traveled through 23 international airports in 1 month on three continents, which is excessive travel.
That is excessive. And it's amazing you kept your health.
Totally. And in that process, I started destroying my health and my family and my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, the question was, how can we create something and share it with others that will significantly help them to bring more balance into their lives? And out of that, the Daily Seven was born.
I see. Now, excuse me for being personal, but did you have to learn the hard way like most of us do? I mean, you know, we tend to go through the school of hard knocks to be able to get our life lessons, but how about you?
Yes, sadly, that is true. Often our greatest lessons will be born in our own greatest pain. And yes, sadly, I had to pay a huge price for this. And therefore, now the book is saying to others that you do not need to lose your family, your health, and your soul on your way to success. And it's really my heart's desire to get that message out to people to say, with the right precaution, hopefully, you do not need to pay that price.
Absolutely.
But I certainly did, yes.
The people that you were working with previous to writing this book, are they now reading this and changing their lives?
Well, I get very good reports from around the world of those who have been exposed. The book only came out in January of this year, so it's still a very, very new book and not even fully available in bookstores as yet. Still a very, very new book. But certainly those people that I've been working with who have implemented the Daily Seven tell me that this is really, truly working for them. And many admit, they say, David, you know what, I still only manage to do five out of the seven or six or some people four, but at least I have a much higher level of awareness. And I begin each week at least with a new desire to try and live all seven on a daily basis during that week.
I think the hardest thing for most people, and I know it has been for myself, is, you know, when you get a book like yours that has seven daily practices and you've got a busy lifestyle and you really want to make those changes, but, you know, breaking into a new habit, I find it's difficult. You know, you really need support. And I think when you say that some of your clients have changed, they've maybe adapted three or four of these ways of being, then it's a great start, because I think from that you can build, you know, and those three or four issues or items, they get to become a part of who you are, and then from there, you grow even more.
Dr. West, you're so right. I think really the secret here is to have a spouse, to have a destiny partner, to have a family who buy into the same philosophy and say, let us as a family determine what is truly important to us. Is it health? Is it spirituality? Is it finance? What are the things that really matters to us? And when you embrace this as a family and say, let's live this system from the time we wake up in the morning until such time as we go and sleep together, it truly strengthens you to do so. When you try and do it on your own, I think it's so easy to just fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the opposite may also be true. If you don't have anybody who's going to nag you when you want to get up early in the morning and exercise and say you make a noise and when you make certain food choices and so forth, maybe that's also easier for some.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it won't be a nag. Hopefully it'll be a little push in the right direction and off you go again, you know.
Indeed, indeed.
But I agree. I think having a partner to be able to share those promises, and especially if you're wanting the same things, or if you find that one of your spouse or your beloved is kind of going off the rails a little bit, because life is stressful and we do try to accomplish many things. I think especially type A personalities, you kind of put the new promises or the New Year's resolutions to the side rather quickly in life, you know. So to have somebody to actually, you know, a buddy system is what I like to call it. I teach workshops and mastermind courses where I always team people up together because I get the best results, they get the best results, and I always set them up with what I call a buddy system, because if they don't have anybody at home, then find a friend that will work with you in that regard.
Exactly. You're so right in that we all need an accountability partner in a buddy system.
Yes.
Or some kind of a forum group that keeps us on the path. Yes.
Absolutely. So, David, let's talk about what the promise of the Daily Seven is to its readers and to our listeners now.
Right. Really, the promise of the Daily Seven is very simple. Anybody who will follow this system will bring more dynamic breakthroughs into their lives. They will enjoy more life balance, relational happiness, personal health, spiritual growth, financial prosperity, and even sexual fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is a big promise out there to say that every vital area of your life will improve. And the very reason why I can say that with certainty and confidence is because you budget time every single day for the most important things in your life, and therefore there is no neglect. And if there's no neglect, then certainly it brings about better results.
Wow, that's a large scope that you're covering, and that's wonderful. So let's go over them a little bit so that we can entice our listeners to get more and more interested, to be able to change their life and reap the rewards.
Indeed. Would you like me to quickly run through what the Daily Seven is?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Just quickly perhaps background on this. In my travels around the globe, I was looking among some of the most accomplished people on the face of the earth to see what it is that they do different from others. And these were not habits of effectiveness like Dr. Covey described many years ago. I was looking for habits of life fulfillment. What makes a rich, wonderful, beautiful life that is worth emulating? And I was very fortunate to come across a small number of people globally, and even having become friends with them, having stayed in their homes, having some of them visiting me in my home, to observe that they get up early in the morning and they almost go on autopilot. And there's a number of things that happened to be seven when I counted them in the end, that these people do on a daily basis, and they just keep repeating this. And every day they strive to take it to another level, to elevate it. So very simple, also as a foundation, is to understand this. These people come from different cultures because they're literally people from all over the world. Some are Asian, some are Westerners, etc., etc. They belong to different religions, they belong to different cultural groups. So the very first one of the seven is early in the morning, just after awakening, daily scheduled, it's always at the same time for these people, or more or less at the same time, spiritual devotion. And again, understand that some of these people were Jewish, some Christian, some Muslim, some Hindu, so they do not necessarily agree who God is,
mm-hmm.
or how God should be approached or worshipped or anything like that. But they all agree that there is a God, there is a higher power, there is a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and that it's a very wise and a good decision to first check in early in the morning with that higher power, to
mm-hmm.
be connected, And they see this as a very important part of their general awareness and consciousness in life, and that it permeates throughout the entire day. So the first one then is scheduled spiritual devotion. Out of that then, the natural outflow of them perhaps doing prayers or chanting, sacred chanting, or meditation, whatever form it could be for them. For some it's kneeling prayer, for some it's meditation. But whatever it is, they typically also follow this with a certain amount of sacred wisdom literature reading, studying of literature that pertain to their particular choice of spirituality or religion, and so forth. But out of that then flow also the habit of reading other good material. So the second one then is daily scheduled mental development. Now, this could be reading. This could be a focusing exercise where you manifest your dreams through just initially focusing on it. This could be in the form of creative writing. It takes various forms, but it's definitely a time allocation for mental development and visualization and that kind of thing.
How much time would you say is a healthy amount of time to spend on this particular?
Well, what I typically observe, Dr. West, is that these people would allocate about a half an hour or so, 15 minutes, a half an hour or maximum an hour for spiritual. They tend to be early risers. And then they would allocate roughly 20, 30, 45 minutes, I would say on average 30 minutes, towards mental development. What is your experience in this? I know also that you are very experienced in focusing exercises, meditation, and so forth.
I really enjoy my expanding my mind and my consciousness on a daily basis. And if, you know, health and alternative healing is a big part of what I'm interested in. And so, you know, normally if I wake up around 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, if I've completed or when, sometimes I'll read first and then meditate after, but I really enjoy to get, by the side of my bed, I have a pile of books that at some point I will get through, and I go through them, you know, methodically in new subject areas that I don't know much about that I really want to know about, and I'll just pick away at them until, you know, I feel like I've grasped a subject and that I understand it, and I feel good about it, so.
And isn't it amazing how much reading one could actually do in a half an hour? A lot of people think, well, I don't have a lot of time, so 15 minutes or half an hour is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's every day, it stacks up.
What I find is that when I have like something that's really intriguing to me and I'm learning a lot, I go back to it more and more. Instead of it just being that 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, I end up giving more time to it.
Indeed.
You know, when I can, if I have a moment, I'll have the book right there by me.
Right.
So you actually end up stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, there's always a time during your day when you have to wait somewhere, or there's been a delay, or an appointment that somebody's coming to see you arrives, going to arrive late, and you just have a little bit of extra time. So really, I think this is vital. What flows from there in the natural progression in the seven is typically around about 6 o'clock in the morning. It could also be later depending on your individual life. I also see that these people make a time allocation and they budget time for this, like people would budget finances for physical conditioning. And this also happens early in the morning, typically before breakfast, then a half an hour to do some kind of exercise. Fourth one then that comes from that is after exercise, then the habit of intelligent or conscious nutrition and conscious supplementation, perhaps something you and I can discuss a little bit later. So if we just quickly unpack the seven then for people, the fifth one is then the habit of your life's work. And I like to term this, and I hear these people use more the term of purpose fulfillment, daily purpose fulfillment, rather than just pure work. And that would obviously take the largest portion of your day. Typically, people would be working 8, 10, 12 hours, these high achievers, up to 12 hours a day, and sometimes even more. And then that brings us to number 6, which is daily scheduled family time, non-negotiable family time.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Beautiful habit, but so neglected. I see that all over the world it's falling in more and more neglect.
Non-negotiable is a very powerful statement. Because,
yes,
you know, and I'm sure there are many, many women who would do just about anything to have their husbands agree to a non-negotiable family time on a regular basis.
Recently in a workshop in Palm Beach, I had all the ladies pumping their husbands in the ribs of their elbows when I was saying that. So that certainly endorses what you are saying there, Dr. Wynn.
Oh, absolutely, because I think that's one of the biggest drawbacks to wealthy wealth building, actually, is the fact that one or both of the partners really lose out on their relationships.
Yes. Yes.
They're too busy.
You know, there's a basic premise here in the Daily Seven that we build this on, where we believe that if you work 8 to 12 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot or do not make enough money,
mm-hmm.
then there is a problem that an additional 3, 4, whatever amount of hours a night will not solve. Mm-hmm. Either you are inefficient, ineffective, greedy, or something. There's a problem in your life, or there's a problem in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not be necessary for any high achiever to work after 7 at night or to work more than 12 hours per day. If you're really focused and efficient and you delegate well, you have the right team in place, that should be more than adequate. And when I mention that to groups of high achievers, typically people who generate in excess of $8 million a year or more, they nod and they agree and they say this is true and they can see this. So, you know, after working with thousands of people in that category, globally, I found that this has been validated, that they agree once they think about it, that yes, certainly there's a problem somewhere in your life, in your relationship or in your business if you have to work more than 12 hours a day to be successful.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. So,
right. And then the final one, of course, is because there's such tremendous demand on the time of high achievers, of high contributors in our society, then that is the habit of daily personal quiet time at the end of the day, typically around about 9:30 or somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
And that then creates the framework for the daily seven, the spiritual, the mental, the physical, the whole area of nutrition, then your purpose fulfillment, your family, and then again at the end of the day, some quiet time just to be sane and to relax and to rejuvenate and to prepare really for a good night of deep sleep.
And what about weekends?
The thinking here is that if you do this 5 days a week and even 6 days a week, you know, then you've done very well. You've lived a good week. And that balance is best achieved on a 7-day cycle rather so than on a 1-day cycle. And I personally feel that at least 1 day a week, be it a Saturday for you, be it a Sunday for you, according to your culture or religion, that you take 1 day completely off just to work in your garden, smell the roses, hang out, play with your children, be with your spouse, really just connect, extend your family time. And be in nature and go on hikes and go kayak and just engage nature and engage mm-hmm. your family more.
Mm-hmm.
But not alone. The idea is that you do all of that with your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's bonus family time as I see it.
Yes, yes, beautiful. One of the things I enjoyed about reading your book was this, besides this non-negotiable family time, was, you know, turning your phone off at night at 7 o'clock and turning it back on at 7 a.m.
Indeed. I think if you're truly a powerful person, then you have enough employees in place to take care of any emergency in your factory or in your plant or wherever it may be. And by 7 o'clock at night, have the guts to switch your cell phone off. Or if you have a phone with the capacity to preset it on switching off at 7, that's fantastic. And then let it automatically switch on again at 7 in the morning. And, you know, I'm sorry, the president wants to speak to me, fantastic, but he can speak to me tomorrow morning at 7. You know, from 7 o'clock at night, this is sacred, special family time. It's non-negotiable to at least 5 nights a week. Understand that, you know, occasionally you need to go to a YPO forum or a Rotary or Lions or wherever you belong, a club meeting. And that is good too. We all need interaction with other people and to serve with groups. But at least 5 nights a week, switch that phone off, have the guts, have the strength, be wealthy enough to be able to do that, be powerful enough to be able to do that.
And wealth isn't just on a financial basis. That's what I'm getting from you. It's really not, we're not talking just about money here.
No, it is richness in terms of your family, in terms of your health, in terms of your soul. I always say to people, true wealth goes way beyond finance. It goes to measuring, do you have a happy family? Do you enjoy good personal health? And do you have spiritual maturity? And along with that, spiritual fulfillment. If you have all of that along with the finances, then absolutely, then you have true wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the respect of your dog, the love of your neighbor, you know, all of that counts towards that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. So obviously you've had a lot of experience with these YPOs that you work with, and you know, some of our audience might not understand what that means. Like the Young President's Organization, as you said, they're earning $8 million a year. That's a lot.
They generate at least that in their companies. That's one of the groups I'm privileged to work with.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so you've really been able to put these seven ways of being into action and get the results. Have you been getting the results that you want from this method that you're using?
Yes, absolutely, and would love to get more results out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically when I ask these groups of high achievers worldwide, how many of these seven are you really proficient in? And they would typically say, David, I'm a master at five. There are normally two areas. It could be health, it could be spirituality,
mm-hmm.
Where they often fail. Mm-hmm. Or they could be very strong in physical fitness, and many of them are, you know, still great athletes. But then they would acknowledge and say, perhaps I neglect my family. So it's typically two.
Mm-hmm.
When you work with less accomplished groups of people, you often find that they would admit that they're only strong perhaps in one of the seven.
Mm-hmm.
And then the higher you go in the, almost want to say in the socioeconomic ladder, the more you would find that people have a higher awareness of the value of, you know, at least five, six or seven of these, typically six. Very few people manage to live fully in all seven areas of this system.
Mm-hmm. So what is it okay to go on, you think, to talk about some physical conditioning? Is this a good point for us to move into that area?
Oh, indeed. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what are your suggestions regarding physical conditioning?
Well, that is such a broad field, but let's explore it a little bit. You know, one of the challenges, again, working with people who are high achievers, workaholics, is they always want to get maximum results, but they don't want to put in the time that is required to get those results. You know, you say, well, you've got to go and jog for an hour. They go, you're crazy. You know, I can't jog for an hour.
And they take their cell phones with them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so what they want is something that will produce outstanding results, but with the minimum investment of time. And that is the challenge. I mean, you surely is a person who stay fit and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find? What is the typical time allocation you need to get through your training program or your exercise?
Well, you know, I like to do yoga for at least 50 minutes, 45, 50 minutes. And that's just one little part of a workout. You know, then there's weight training and then cardio. So it's quite lengthy, but I don't do them all in one day together.
Yes, that's wise, yes.
You know, so I try to spread them up. But I think at least an hour a day I think you're doing really good if you can do an hour a day.
Exactly. Now, we all know and we all believe that and agree that an hour a day would be wonderful, and especially if you could alternate strength and cardio and flexibility and so
mm-hmm.
forth. Now, I'm a great believer in yoga. Yoga is a beautiful modality to choose. Pilates is great.
Yes.
But, you know, I was searching for ways that I could help people to really simplify their training, and one of the exercises that I came across, I like the term touch the earth, touch the sky.
Yes, that's great.
And it's
yes.
such a basic exercise, but it's something you can virtually do anywhere, and for a minimum investment of time. you get a tremendous result. It develops you on a strength level. It tones the muscle. It stimulates the lymph system.
How do you do that?
It activates your cardio. Okay, very simple. What I typically do is I take a kettlebell or a dumbbell. A kettlebell is just a steel ball with a handle,
uh-huh.
or an old-fashioned dumbbell. When I'm traveling, I find a rock or I find a piece of log.
Uh-huh.
Or I take my briefcase in the hotel if it's heavy enough.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you position yourself standing with whatever weight you're going to use between your feet. Grab the weight on both sides with your left and right hand equal. And with your knees bent, your back straight, your head up, lift this weight up from the ground, in other words, from touching the earth, in a straight line up past your chest, past your nose, and stretch high up above, trying to touch the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your back straight and go on the same pathway all the way down again until just before the weight touched the ground, and then go up again. Now, Dr. West, if you do 21 of these, I've tried these with young guys who just come straight out of Marines, with athletes, you do 21 of those with an adequate weight, you are totally out of breath.
I've right? done them. I read your book and I started doing them, so I
and what
I believe
was your experience?
Pardon?
What was your experience?
Well, I definitely broke a sweat, and I felt refreshed, and I felt really good about it. I feel like I was doing my whole body in minimal amount of time.
Exactly. And if the weight is heavy enough, even your calf muscles are being worked, because you're stabilizing the calf muscles.
Yes.
Your abdominal muscles, this is one of the most fantastic exercises for your butt. So just all round for your entire body, it works about 95-98% of all the muscles in your body in one exercise.
It's such a simple one, and really great, and you can do it wherever you are. Like you're saying, if you're traveling and you have a, it doesn't have to be a suitcase. It could be a bag of some sort or something in the hotel room.
Exactly, a small piece of furniture, stool or something. Just find something that's suitable shape and size with a little bit of resistance. And if it's very light, you simply increase the number of repetitions. If it's heavier, then decrease the repetitions. Now, typically what I like to suggest is that people build up to 5 sets, ideally with a increasing weight on each set, and do something between 21 as the maximum repetitions and sort of 5, 6 or so as the minimum repetition. So you may do 21 in your first set, drop to 18, drop to 16 or 12, then drop to 8, and then drop, say, to 6, especially if you go with a heavier weight. Or alternatively, just do 4 sets of 21 with a light weight.
Yes.
Incredibly good exercise. I think the main benefit here is that you're stretching your body through its entire range.
Uh-huh.
And you're breathing. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
You take 21 deep breaths. That alone is fantastic for your lymph system. It's fantastic for your skin. It's fantastic for your health.
Your blood.
It energizes you for the day.
Yes.
Exactly. So that is one of the exercises I truly love. There are many more, but, for radio, for the purpose of this discussion,
yes.
I think that's probably the best one.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. Now, I know that you're working on a formula for breakthrough balance and bliss. This is a new avenue for you to work in. Maybe you could tell us about that, how you're doing. You're writing a new book, and also it's available as a workshop.
Indeed. Thank you so much for that question. Well, Dr. West, I think what you have also found over the years is that we all have some simple desires and needs as human beings. Most people, I don't know if you agree with this, but most people have a desire, no matter how successful, how happy, how accomplished they are, still to have a breakthrough in some area of their life.
I do think that, actually. I think that, if we feel we've made it and we're all the way there, then I don't think we're looking close enough, because it'd be kind of boring to think that we've done everything we need to do and we've reached all of the goals we need to reach. So I'm a great advocate for breaking through fears and breaking through barriers and moving to the next level of consciousness, whatever it is.
Exactly. And breakthrough is all about fearless living. And,
uh-huh.
You and I both know that if you ask audiences anywhere in the world, what is the number one emotion that is holding you back? What would they say?
I think they would say fear.
Absolutely. Always. They would always say fear. That's the number one thing. Globally, 135 nations, people I've asked, they always, always first and foremost say fear.
I like to say false evidence appearing real.
Indeed, indeed. Absolutely. So if we can just get people to break through fear, that means they're free to go and pursue that entrepreneurial dream that they have. They pursue, they're free to pursue a relationship that they want. And so forth. So absolutely. So the first aspect, breakthrough, is all about helping people to redefine what they are capable of so that they can have breakthrough experiences, so that they can have the confidence to live fearlessly. Now, when one talks about living fearlessly, the very foundation of fearless living is very, very simple. Living in truth. It's when you live in truth, when you're congruent with your own truth, and there's no duplicity in your life, that is when you're most free to live fearlessly. And then the other fears are really just minor things to deal with once you can just be true to who you are, to what you want for your life.
But when you say truth, can you go into that a little bit more? Because I think that, you know, when you've got a fear and it's stopping you from moving forward in your life, I'm not clear what you mean by being...
I think the very foundation where we first strengthen ourselves to overcome fear is to first make a committed decision to resolve that we're going to live in total authenticity. Authenticity to who we are, authenticity, honesty, sincerity, transparency with other people. That gives us the foundation. And from that foundation, if we add faith, if we add knowledge, if we add a support team, if we add skill, if we add all the other things that we need, then we can overcome all other fears. But if we have not even dealt with the very basic level of fear, and that is of being who we are meant to be, being true to ourselves and being honest with others, then I think we're not even ready to take on those bigger fears.
Yes,
so this is the foundation.
We're so afraid to be ourselves.
And so many
people
don't
even know who we are.
And when they embrace that, when they actually get beyond that, they're so happy. It's so beautiful to see them living their truth, living their authenticity.
I know that you in your career have done some amazing things to be able to help others break through their fear. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of the physical reality of that side of your life.
Yes, we have a lot of fun. Thank you for asking about that. What we typically do in these workshops in the breakthrough part is we invite people to do a fire walk.
And a firewalk.
Firewalk. Awesome. And you have done a fire walk, haven't you?
I did.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Well, it was awesome. It was something that I never really thought I would do. And right up until the last minute, I thought, well, you know, it's okay for all these other people who want to do this, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. But actually, when the moment came that I was asked to walk on the coals, it was very exhilarating. And of course, at that moment, you realize that if I do this, I can do anything.
Indeed. That is the whole lesson.
That's what I felt. If I can do this, I can get through and I can do anything.
Exactly, because what do we feel before we walk? We all feel fear. We all
feel
uncertainty.
So much fear.
The same thing that's holding us back in other areas of our life is that fear, that uncertainty. So you face your fear, you get to the other side, you have a victory, you have a success, and you go, oh my gosh, if I can do this, if I could overcome my fear here, I can also overcome my fear to do X, Y, or Z.
Yes.
And that is the value. So we firewalk, we jump, we walk on shreds of broken glass barefoot. We punch through stacks of flaming boards. We push arrows into our throat and break them. And we bend steel bars, pushing up against our neck. You know, so we do some really crazy way out stuff.
Yeah.
But if you stack 4, 5, 7 of those experiences together, in a matter of an hour or two, you redefined for people what they are capable of. And they leave there with a whole new belief in themselves because they say, well, if I could do all these things, then making that phone call, writing that letter, going to speak to that person, to initiate this project or to start this relationship or whatever it is, that is easy by comparison. And that's why we expose people to these way-out extreme things so that the challenges they have in their everyday life can be seen in the proper perspective and they have this reference to say, if I could do that, I can do this.
Yes, yes.
And that has been very, very successful, of course, with people and always create a lot of fun.
Well, how many people have you, would you say you've taken through Firewalks?
Oh, my goodness, impossible for me to say. I know of one banking group, we've taken roughly 20,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
Across the calls, and that was just in a space of a matter of a few weeks on roadshows. Globally, I would guess, and I'm just really guessing now, maybe 50,000 people or so by now.
Really? 50,000
That's over
people.
A period of 14 years, of course.
David, you should give your website out so that our listeners will be able to go check out your website, maybe even as they're listening.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, people are most welcome to go to my website, which is David Fabricius. My last name is FabriciUS, DavidFabricius.com.
And do you do these firewalks and the breaking through flaming boards and the arrow bending and all of that stuff? Do you do that for corporations, for individual?
Yes, totally.
Seminars?
My clients typically include Microsoft, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Motorola, all the major Fortune 500 companies, Mass Mutual and so on, insurance companies. And bankers, for some reason, love this. So I've done this globally for major corporations as part of their team building and also with their sales teams, because often the sales teams look at their sales targets and say, well, it's impossible. You know, there's no way they can in this quarter or this year achieve those targets. And then when you take them outside and you let them make fire with water and walk on fire and make all these crazy things, and they see it's possible, and then you take them back to the sales target, they all laugh and say, gosh, how could I have such limiting thinking? Of course this is possible. So definitely it shifts their belief of what's possible, and therefore corporations love using it. And for team building, things such as the firewalk, think about it. People are scared together. And then within minutes later, they have a shared victory.
So
and they
bonding.
Celebrate together, and that bonds them together.
Yes.
Very, very powerful way of bonding people together.
Yes.
And even couples, I've seen that couples bond beautifully when they do this together and they actually support each other through this.
Oh, how lovely. Yes, that's an incredible, yes, wonderful. So are you available for any of our listeners who wanted to create this for their business or their personal life?
Well, certainly, certainly. You know, we travel all over the globe, and it's just a matter of finding the right time allocation in our planner. So if the dates work for them, the dates work for me, then absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is the breaking through of fear, which is really an enormous step in the right direction for anybody who's ready and willing to really be a fully authentic person and live a fully authentic life.
Absolutely. And then what follows on from the breakthrough, of course, is the balance, because the very same thing that creates our success in life, our intense focus, our desire to break through, our very intense efforts in this breakthrough process is often the very same thing that places at risk our family and our health and our soul. You know, so too much focus, too much breakthrough is a bad thing too.
So you mean when people become overachievers?
Yeah, people get so locked into it. I mean, think of it. If somebody gets a breakthrough in technology,
yes,
and they become obsessed by that opportunity, and rightfully so, because it's a great opportunity. They discovered or they found a new way of doing things. They've produced a new product or a new service, and they're introducing it into the marketplace as a start-up entrepreneurial business. You know, it absorbs them. It totally absorbs their life. And it's okay for a short period of time to create that breakthrough, to establish that new product or service. And we should all give creative expression to our gifts and bring it to the market. But too much of that takes you away again from your family. It takes you away from a non-negotiable family dinner. And I've seen this so many times. When you start missing too many family dinners, that relationship typically will end up in serious trouble.
Yes.
And therefore, then the daily seven say, okay, there's a time allocation to focus tremendously on making your contribution to the world in terms of your gifting. But then there's also a time to do other things, to take care of your family, your health, your soul, and so forth.
Yes, yes, I can.
And then that brings us to number six and number seven, which was the non-negotiable family time. And also that brings us then back to this whole concept of perhaps special time with your spouse.
Talk about that.
That is also so neglected.
Yeah, talk about that special time, because, I mean, you're obviously, that's different for everybody. How do you relate to that special time?
Well, Dr. West, I think one of the first things that it is a bit of a transition that is required. That, you know, when you come home, you're still in this work mode.
Mm.
Perhaps before dinner, a great idea if you have dogs, to just take the dogs for a short walk. That could be one way of just transitioning. Or helping with preparing of the dinner could be another way of transitioning, or taking a quick shower. Then again, after dinner, there's a necessity for a bridge or a transition. Now, a meditative walk, just a slow walk where you perhaps count your steps, could be a good way to do it. It could again be something such as just sitting at your children's bed, depending how young the children is, reading a story. And how beautiful it would be when a husband and wife, a spouse team, sit together at their child or children's bed and read a story. And that would be a beautiful transition from the dinner then into connecting the spouses together for special time. And one of the areas that I think that is so neglected in today's world is people don't take adequate time to love well anymore.
Mm.
And that brings us to the final part of that program then, which is bliss.
Mm. Yeah.
And this whole concept of bliss is that we consciously make time to touch, to connect. So to build that bridge, what I often recommend to people is that perhaps one of the spouses will take, like typically the wife, would take a beautiful hot therapeutic bath for 20 minutes or so, maybe with beautiful minerals and oils and floating flowers and candlelight and so forth. For hubby, it could be, as I say, walking the dogs for a little while and just giving her that sacred space, because she also have demands. I mean, you as a woman certainly would be able to tell us how many demands there are on a person who bring up children, who overlook a household, who still have a career. I hear so many women tell me that their lives are just so full. I think women in particular have so much more to deal with than men.
Well, they do carry a lot. I mean, they're generally, not always, the main person in taking care of the home. And a lot of that's obviously societal and just the way things have been expected and demanded. And I think that's changing also, you know, rapidly. I think men are also taking those roles as well. But yes, I mean, with the demand of raising children and working and trying to even keep yourself in shape and stay healthy.
Yes,
you know,
and be involved in the community and all of that.
It's a
very full plate to take care of.
I think we take on too much in our lives. You know, I think we tend to overstretch ourselves and really learning to say no, I think, has been one of the most important things that I've been able to teach women, is learning to say no when it means yes to yourself.
Right. That is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's also important for the men, you know, to realize that, yes, I have a lot of demands on my time, especially as a business leader, but so have my spouse. There's a lot of demand on her time. And give her that space, at least a half an hour, 20 minutes at the absolute minimum, to just be at peace, to be quiet. Another beautiful ritual that I often suggest that, you know, for them to connect on is a very simple simple ritual of a foot washing ceremony or a foot massage, you know, where one partner would just sit with the other partner and just gently begin to rub the feet, to massage the feet. And that could be a nice first step towards more intimacy then later that evening. Another beautiful thing that I suggest that people do is, and that goes even back to early in the morning, just round about in between the spiritual time and somewhere before the morning breakfast, is that they actually make a declaration to each other, make a statement of intention to each other. And if I may give a quick example of this, and then
yes,
I'll close
please.
The loop to the evening, is where, can you imagine people holding themselves to this standard where a spouse team, husband and wife, a destiny partner team, sit across from each other early in the morning, and they just gently look into each other's eyes, lovingly and caringly. And perhaps the husband will begin by saying that he loves her, and that he really cares about her, and that he makes a commitment at that time in the morning that he will work with great focus and intensity and responsibility in this day to provide well for her and for the children, and mention the children by name, and then go on from there perhaps to say, and I'm looking forward to having dinner with you tonight at 7, making that commitment early in the morning. That puts the pressure on, yes, so this is a new standard. That puts the pressure on then to be there for that dinner. That makes it worth a while. If she's the one who's going to prepare the dinner, if he's a career person who comes in a bit late, then to make a special effort knowing he's going to be there for that dinner. And saying how much he looks forward to that and going beyond that, going into the bliss and declaring, and I look forward to pleasuring you tonight after dinner.
Oh,
now, that puts a lot of pressure on the guys, of course. And recently in Palm Beach, when I offered that suggestion to a group of very accomplished business people, about 200 of them, about half the group got very excited and said, this is a fantastic new standard, and I immediately want to embrace this. As an achiever, as an alpha male, I want to do this with my spouse. And then the other half had very mixed feelings about it, saying, well, that really puts pressure on me. But so then closing the loop, bringing it back into the evening, where that couple is, they did not have the time in the morning to do a little exercise, which I believe you're familiar with, and that's the daily temperature reading.
Yes, I love it.
You know, perhaps you can quickly just fill our listeners in on that one. But then where they complete it, either in the morning or that, and then follow through with some special time together. But perhaps we could just share that. If you would like to share that, I would love to just hear your view on that.
Sure, absolutely. The daily temperature reading is an incredible formula for really helping people to stay connected. And in a way that nothing really falls through the cracks. You know, often I think part of the biggest problem with the couple's space is the fact that too much goes on in a day and they don't actually get the time to catch each other up on all of the events, and therefore things fall through the cracks and, you know, misinformation gets relayed and parts of information gets relayed and somebody somewhere gets hurt because they don't feel that they were informed about what's going on. So the daily temperature guide, I think, is really for covering all ends. And it starts with telling each other what you really appreciate about one another.
What a beautiful thing to do on a daily basis.
Yes. I mean, you know, I appreciate you for showing up for me the way you do. I appreciate you for holding me the way you do. I appreciate you for caring about my health the way that you do. I appreciate the way that you go out and earn money and bring it home so that we can live the way we live. Whatever it is that they can appreciate about their partners, that to be able to express that, because appreciation goes a long way. When someone feels appreciated, they go out and do 10 more things. So they can hear those appreciations again.
Yes, and they can do it even better with more love and more care because they see it's being noticed.
Yes, absolutely. So the appreciations are a great way to start. And it's, I think the daily temperature guide is a good thing to do first thing in the morning.
Ideally, yes. But so often, you know, the guys say that the mornings are just so full already.
Yes.
And then therefore I say if you could not do it in the morning, then perhaps in the evening at least.
Yes. I think mornings are preferable because when you start your day feeling clear, it's excellent. But also because as you go through this process, you realize that there are other aspects to it that could get a little deeper, and maybe if there's areas that really need to be looked at and spoken about, then it might, if you're tired, it's not a good time to do it.
Right. I'm not sure about the way you do it, Dr. West, but also there's the sharing of new information, right?
Yes. Well, first of all, you do your appreciations.
Yes.
And then you have the new information.
Yes. And that often also at the end of the day I find as valuable because there's a lot of new information.
Yes.
But certainly there's no harm of discussing that in the morning then.
Yes. I think, you know, whatever works for each individual is really the way that the couples would work it out themselves. But sharing the appreciations, sharing new information, and that's where you get to relay all the information that has built up and needs to be shared. And then puzzles. Do you want to talk about puzzles?
Yes. Observations, puzzles, curiosities, absolutely.
What puzzles me is that, for instance, you said you're going to stop smoking, but this morning I saw you light up a cigarette.
Right.
It's puzzling me why we talk about your health and then you go and smoke a cigarette, something like that, or, you know, whatever it is. It puzzles me that you say you're going to be on time for dinner and you were late by 20 minutes again tonight or last night. You know, that's puzzling me. Because normally when there's a puzzle in the relationship, there's normally something that's not quite right. And this gives the opportunity before it festers into something that gets out of hand or turns into something else, which happens often when we have withholds. When we're withholding information from each other, it's probably because we're hurt or we're saddened by something and we don't really know how to get it out. This gives us a good venue to actually keep things up and up.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
So after the puzzles comes the observations with
a request for change. Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. In a little bit of time we've got left, I just think it's a wonderful thing if one could, instead of just attacking or being judgmental or anything, just say, you know, John or Mary, I've been observing or I've noticed that whatever it is, and then make a gentle request for them to change that for their own good and for the better of everybody. Again, a beautiful thing to prevent a problem from growing and becoming a major problem downstream. So really, this is just a way for couples to communicate more actively and more effectively with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really like the last part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really the dreams, the wishes, and the aspirations or ambitions and desires.
Mm-hmm.
Because that leaves you on a very high note.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel that certainly, you know, if your wife expresses her dreams, her hopes, her ambitions, her goals, it keeps you focused on what is important to her.
Mm-hmm.
And also it can serve as a tremendous inspiration for a man then to go out and work the next day or that particular day, whether they do it in the morning or at night, to then be an effective producer out there in order to provide for those dreams and those hopes and aspirations and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So all around a beautiful, beautiful exercise. And
yes.
In conclusion, I think what this is all about, whether you follow the Breakthrough Balance and Bliss system, the Daily Seven, whatever, it is just a more conscious way of living. To say, instead of just waking up in the morning and drifting through my day, let me have a plan. Let me have a proven system. Let me have some form of discipline, yes, with flexibility, but a framework, a master framework with new standards for living.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have seen in my own life and in the lives of people who choose to do that, certainly their quality of life is tremendously elevated as their consciousness elevates, as their balance improves. There's such a synergy amongst all of these components.
I think that's all we have time for. David, would you like to give your website address again?
Thank you. It's David Fabricius, FabriciUS, DavidFabricius.com.
Do you want to give out a phone number?
Dr. Wisner, I think they're all there on the website, so that would be sufficient.
Okay.
People just go to David Fabricius, FabriciUS.com.
David, thank you so much for this interview. And again, the name of the book that David has written is The Daily Seven, The Secret to Living a Life of Balanced Excellence. And I wish you all the best of luck with that. And thank you for sharing all of your tips and expertise on how to stay balanced and live a life of joy.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Wesson. All the best to you.
Okay. Namaste. Bye-bye.
Namaste. Bye-bye.